Well, the reading is taken from page 811 of the Pew Bibles. It's Matthew chapter 6, from verses 5 to 15. Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray like this, then. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Thanks be to God.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Story is told of how round about the beginning of each year, just about the beginning of the new golfing season, the great golfer Jack Nicklaus would take himself back to his first coach, a Mr. Jack Grout. And he would say to him, "Will you teach me to play golf?" And at the beginning of each season, the increasingly elderly coach would say to the great Jack Nicklaus, "Now, this is how you stand. This is how you grip the club. This is how you swing the club." And would teach him over again how to play golf. Do you think perhaps that's why Jack Nicklaus won so many golfing championships? How often have we come to our Father, to our Saviour, with the request, "Lord, teach me to pray"? If we don't come and say to Jesus, "Lord, teach me to pray," are we really saying that we already know all there is to know about prayer? Are we really saying that our praying is at present so good, so perfect, that there's nothing more for us to learn or to grow into? Perhaps in the past, we've been brave enough to admit it to ourselves. We need help with prayer. Let's try today being brave enough to share that admission together. We are all in the same boat here. We all need help with our praying. For the next few weeks, that's what we're going to do in our Sunday services. We're going to encourage one another in our praying. We're going to cry out to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." We're going to journey together into the grace-filled experience of prayer, entering the presence of our God, knowing his smile upon us, learning from God himself what it is to pray. We started this, I suppose, earlier in the year on the 1st of January. We saw some DVD clips. Let's remind ourselves of one of those short DVD clips.
I'd say that there are three kind of tips when it comes to prayer: to keep it simple, to to keep it honest and to keep it going. To keep it simple means that you have to make your prayer as simple as possible. Reduce it even just to one sentence. Can be sometimes 5 minutes, can be 10 minutes, can be half an hour. Then keep it honest. We often think that we have to be in a certain mood to pray, so that before starting praying, we have to be peaceful, we have to be joyful, or we have to be enthusiastic about the Lord. The reality is that most of the time, we are in completely different mood. So we are either worried, or we are tired, or we are frustrated about something, or we are angry about something. The secret is really to realize that each one of these feelings, even the most negative one, I'd say even anger, even lust, can become a fuel to prayer, can be transformed into prayer. When I start praying, I just focus on what is the dominant feeling in my heart. If it is a positive feeling, like joy, I offer this joy to the Lord. If it is a negative feeling, like frustration or tiredness, I start from there and I say to the Lord, Lord, I'm tired or I'm frustrated. And I kind of express all the reasons of my frustrations to the, frustration to the Lord, and I transform them into prayer in this way. And then keep it going. We can pray all the time. I can pray for the people around me. I can just say to the Lord very simply, Lord, I love you, or Lord, help me. I can, in any situation, when I am in a church, when I am in my room, before going to bed, before meals, yes, but also when I'm walking, when I'm driving, often I realize I'm praying, even without having decided to pray, just because it has become a kind of habit. So keep it simple, keep it honest, keep it going.
Just to encourage you, that short clip was taken from one of our Alpha evenings. We're going to be doing Alpha again in the autumn, and that's the kind of quality of the Alpha DVD. So please, when we do Alpha, come and join us for that. It's a wonderful clip on prayer. I didn't notice any big words, didn't notice any difficult theological ideas. Keep it simple, keep it honest, keep it going. That doesn't sound beyond us. It doesn't sound too difficult for all of us to learn how to do together. Right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught his disciples to pray. We've said the words already this morning. Some of us learned them many years ago. Perhaps we don't remember learning them. We just said them every day, and somehow it ended up that we knew them off by heart. Words given to teach us how to pray. Well, this morning, and in 2 weeks' time, we're going to think about those words, the Lord's Prayer, and how they help us learn how to pray. Sometimes people ask me for help. So far, no one has ever asked me to help with the wallpapering. No one has ever asked me to help them choose some new throw cushions or some curtains. I'm not a home decorator. I've never been asked to help with ploughing a field or raising sheep. I'm not a farmer. It makes a huge difference who it is you ask to help you. A huge difference. I remember quite clearly one day, it was such a shock, I nearly crashed the car. It was a sunny day, the road was quiet, I was just driving along minding my business. There was one of those wretched phone-in programs on the radio. And a Christian minister from a church somewhere in the UK was being interviewed about prayer. And he said, it really doesn't matter who you pray to. I was so shocked and angry, I nearly crashed the car. It really doesn't matter who you pray to. So that means you could all pray to me. It really doesn't matter. I could pray to you. It really doesn't matter. We could pray to the sun or the moon or the stars, or get a bit of wood and stick it in the corner, because it really doesn't matter. who you pray to. If you're going to pray, it profoundly matters who you're praying to. It makes all the difference in the world who it is you're praying to. Let's agree this first of all. When we pray, we are praying to someone. We're not praying to the wall. We're not shouting at the ceiling. We're not casting our words into space. We are talking to a person, to someone. Who is it that Christians pray to? Well, that's the first thing that Jesus taught us in that prayer, our Father in heaven. The person to whom we pray has made himself known to us as Father. And although in that sentence I said the word Father and the word himself, I do not believe, and I hope you don't believe either, that gender has any meaning in relation to God. It's not about maleness or femaleness. Father is not a name or a title for God, but is a revelation of God as personal. God is revealed to us as someone who knows us intimately. God is revealed to us as someone who is committed to caring for us, protecting us, providing us, being loving towards us. When we pray, we don't need to persuade God to love us. He already does. We don't need to persuade God to care for us. He already does. Prayer is not about creating or establishing a relationship with God. Prayer is about living in the relationship that God already has with us, where we know him as our Father, and he loves us as his children. Our Father. If I had one of those shiny new pound coins for every time I said this, I'd be rich. When reading the Bible, you need to pay attention to the pronouns. When we are taught to pray by Jesus, we are not taught to pray to the Father. He doesn't say, pray a Father. He certainly doesn't say, pray to someone else's Father. God makes himself known to you and to me as our Father. God is assuring us all that his desire is to live together with us in such an intimate relationship that we will know God as our Father. Many of us will have been bereaved of mom and dad. No matter how old we get, we know the miss of them. We will never be bereaved of God as our Father. He is not going to change. He isn't going anywhere. He is today and he always will be our Father. So let's keep it simple then. Let us think of and pray to God in the way that Jesus taught us. I know, and you know as well, there are many, many other things we could say about God besides saying that he is our Father. But when Jesus taught us to pray, he didn't say any of them. What he said was, our Father. When you pray, talk to someone who already knows you. Talk to someone who already loves you. Talk to someone who is already committed to seeking your best good. There is nothing you can do to make God love you more or less than he already does. When we pray, let's trust the gospel. Let's trust our Father. And let's pray to him. Because it really does matter who you pray to. It makes a difference who you pray to. It also makes a difference what you pray for. Imagine for a moment on Tuesday morning past, The Prime Minister had gone straight to Buckingham Palace and seen the Queen and asked the Queen to dissolve Parliament and call an early election. Well, the Queen could not have done that. She couldn't have done that. We might have wished that with that grandmotherly eye, she'd fixed the Prime Minister with a stare, boxed her ears and said, go and play nice with the other girls and boys. But we've been stuck with an election. But in order to be stuck with an election, an Act of Parliament from 2011 meant that Parliament first had to agree before the Queen could dissolve Parliament. There are some things even the Queen can't do. If you're asking someone to do something they can't do, then it doesn't matter how simply or honestly or persistently you ask them. If they can't do it, they can't do it. It makes a difference what you ask for when you pray. So when we pray, what shall we pray for? What shall we ask for? When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, may your name be made holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done in heaven as it is on earth. To pray for the coming of the kingdom is the same thing as praying for the will of God to be done. The kingdom of God is exactly that. God's will being done in and through the lives of all the citizens of the kingdom. Indeed, this is the same thing as praying to our Father in heaven. You see, Jesus did not believe in what they call a tiered universe. There was the earth, as it were, down here, and in some other location, perhaps up here or over here or somewhere else, there is heaven. Heaven's not like that. That's not what the word means in the Bible. What the word means is the sphere, the scope of God's kingdom. Heaven is God's will being done. As disciples of Jesus, we enter into the kingdom of God whenever we follow Jesus. As disciples of Jesus, we submit to God's will being done in our lives, through our living, in our relationships, in our families, in our communities. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. God is not somewhere else. God is here with us. This most simple of prayers is that we would live our lives in the presence of God, that we would know and see God's presence come more and more into our lives, that we would live as the people of God each and every day, and that through our faithful discipleship, God's kingdom would come, God's will would be done in our lives, through our lives, in our world. Can God do it? Is God able to answer this prayer? Yes, he can. God has already changed your life. Your life is already an answer to this prayer. We're praying that our lives together would become more and more an answer to this prayer. But not only can God do it, God wants to do it. Have we not all tried to persuade someone to do something we know they don't want to do? Perhaps we can remember when someone tried to persuade us to do something that we don't want to do. It's a great sadness when Christian people think of prayer as trying to persuade God to do something he doesn't want to do. Too many Christians think of prayer as trying to wheedle with God or to plead with him or persuade him. But that's not what Jesus teaches us prayer is like at all. When we pray for God's kingdom to come, for God to show love and grace towards us and others, we know that God already wants to do that. It is, as they say, like you're pushing on an open door. That's the great joy of praying the words of Scripture back to God. All through Scripture, God gives us many promises of grace and love. If we take those promises, If we pray them back to God, what in effect we're doing is saying, God, will you keep your promise? Will you do what you already want to do? We know that God wants to keep his promises. We know that God wants to answer this prayer. May your name be made holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done, as in heaven, so also on the earth. There's no part of this prayer that God cannot do, and no part of this prayer that God does not want to do. In just 22 words, Jesus has taught us how to pray a prayer that God wants to hear and wants to answer. When we pray this prayer, we will begin to see within us and around us God's kingdom coming. Whenever you believe in Jesus, God's kingdom has come there. Whenever you share the good news of Jesus with someone, God's kingdom has come. Whenever you speak a kind word, do a generous deed, go the second mile for someone, God's kingdom has come. As God answers this prayer in your daily life and mine, so the influence, the aroma of God's kingdom will spread from you to others. Others whom God wants to bless. The kingdom grows as our lives are shaped in answer to this prayer, and God's kingdom comes in us. We are to pray to God, who is our Father. We are to pray to our Father that his kingdom may come within us and among us. Can we be encouraged to trust the words of Jesus, to believe that Jesus really knows more than we do about prayer? Our confidence in prayer is in equal measure to our confidence in Jesus. Well, it's the week after Easter. Jesus is not dead, but is alive again and reigns over all creation. How can we not be confident that Jesus the King knows more about this than we do? How can we not be confident that Jesus, our risen Savior, loves us and would have us pray? The letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament is written with just one clear purpose. It's written to display Jesus as better than all the rest, better than anyone. Jesus is simply the best. Listen to how the writer of this letter in just three verses encourages our praying as we recognize who Jesus is. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Rising from the dead, Jesus is the one who has entered the living presence of God before us and on our behalf. Bearing our human flesh, Jesus today stands in the presence of our God, our Father. This is the resurrection. There is a human in the presence of God today. The verse continues. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. If Jesus were only the best ever high priest, we might find ourselves with the same doubt. Maybe he's too much the best to know us or notice us or care for us or help us. In the week after Easter, let's not forget Christmas. Jesus came to be God with us. Jesus took upon himself our human flesh and our human life. In every way that you face temptation, Jesus has shared that. He knows your life. He has shared your life. This is how much better than anyone else Jesus really is. Therefore, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find help in time of need. Come into the presence of God. Pray your prayers with this confidence. Jesus has opened the way for us. Jesus has gone before us and now, as it were, stretches out his hand for us to take hold of us and bring us after him. Through Jesus, we are not only admitted to the presence of God, we are made welcome in the presence of God. We are the children of God, not there to be seen and not heard, but there to speak, to cry out, to pray. We have this access to come to God's throne of grace, that we might seek the grace and the mercy we need each day. We have this wonderful privilege to approach the throne of grace, to cry out for grace and mercy, not only the grace and mercy we need, but for others, for our families and our friends and our neighbors and those we work with, and for the city and the nation and the world. God wants to hear us pray, and in prayer, Jesus takes hold of our hand and brings us into the presence of God, and prayer works because Jesus is alive. What a savior. Trust Jesus. Trust his love for you. Trust his death and his resurrection. Trust his already standing in God's presence. When Jesus teaches us to pray, he knows what he's talking about. We can pray. We can pray to our Father in heaven that his kingdom may come, that we may know that he will hear us, and we can be sure that he will answer us. Knowing that we can pray, it's time to pray. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this invitation to prayer that you have given us in Jesus, our risen Savior. We ask that in all we pray and in all we think about praying, you would help us to keep it simple and not to overcomplicate things, to keep it honest, to pray to you from where we really are, and to keep it going, to pray and to not stop. Father, be with us, be at work among us. As we learn how to pray, may your kingdom come among us for the glory of your name, in Jesus our Savior. Amen.